listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Just give you what I think God put on my heart during the worship and the praise. Shane, thank you so much for being sensitive. He just started me out in a thought this morning that I believe every one of us need. And it really started out in John chapter 1 in verse number 1 and went through those first four verses. And he just, like a machine gun, fired those things in my soul. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. Everything was made through Him. And by Him, nothing that is made, everything that is made was made by Him. And nothing that would be there, let me get that right. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. So what you see, it had to be Him. And here's where He started working on me. In Him, talking about Christ, in Him was Zoe. And it's more than life, it's Zoe. Zoe is a bigger word. It's only three letters in the Greek, but Zoe for you and I is a lot longer word. And we think of being saved as missing hell and going to heaven, kind of like an insurance policy, just getting away from something to get into something else. But when God saved you, He didn't save you to dodge hell. And I want y'all to get that right away. Well, that's why the message in tongues, or the prophetic word this morning was what it was, that God is not interested in doing Sunday with you. He's interested in doing life with you, not Sundays with you. Sundays is religion and it's church with you. He wants to do life with you, which would include Sundays. Matter of fact, I don't care when you worship God. You can worship God like a Seventh-day Adventist or, on Saturday. I don't care. There's not one day better than the other. We happen to meet on Sunday, but I worship God Saturday. Amen. I'll worship God Monday. Amen. I'll do it again Friday. I'm just saying, I don't have a problem with when I worship God. I just want to make sure that I do it. And here's the thing that I think that God is dealing with in this word Zoe. The word Zoe means salvation. Yes, that's included there, soul salvation. But it also means preservation. It also means healing. It also means deliverance. It also means to be preserved. I don't know if you catch that phrase, but when you came into the kingdom of God, He wasn't just interested in you dodging hell. He was interested in cleansing you. He was interested in delivering you. He was interested in healing you. He was interested in protecting you. He was interested in preserving you. Wow. Salvation covers a much deeper plat of ground than we've been looking at. We see the surface of it, but He says, this is what I'm doing for you. In Him was Zoe. In Him was light, or life. And this life, this Zoe, look at this next part, was the light of men. Was the light of men. Say Shekinah. That's an Old Testament word. It's the Shekan, or the light of God. Pastor Gabriel preached a couple weeks or a week or so ago, whenever it was, that he talked about maybe Obed-Edom. He was the guy that got the ark when David in 2 Samuel 6 had the ark, and he was trying to get it back to Jerusalem. You remember that? And they had it on a nice ox cart, which wasn't God's plan, and Uzzah touched it, and he got killed, and I'm not sure why. I don't have that figured out yet. In my finite understanding, I just say he got grounded out. You know what it is when you ground out on electricity? You got a lot of earth and you touch something high powered and it kills you. Just saying. He was not equipped for that. Oh, but let me tell you what you're equipped for. Uzzah could not touch the very glory of God. He did it and he died. That's an Old Testament principle. They took that box that had that glow, that Shekinah, the Shekinah of God, the glory resting on it. God said, I would be there. They took that thing and they put it in Obed-Edom's house, probably in the back bedroom, so no one would brush up against it. And you will find, if you track Obed-Edom, he was a priest, by the way, when the box was in Shiloh, so he knew something about it. And they put it back in Obed-Edom's house, maybe in that back bedroom. And I don't know if it happened or not, but it's just my imagination, probably. But they had in those days to cover a bedroom door like a sheet. We'd have doors open, closed. They'd just have a rag or, you know, a sheet up there. I'm just imagining right now that they had that box back there, and God didn't leave just because he was in somebody's bedroom, but he stayed right there with it. The Bible says that for 3 months, everything that man touched was blessed. Everything he did was blessed. His kids were blessed. His life was blessed. His crops, his everything about him was blessed because the Shekinah of God was there. And I don't know if this is true or not. This is my imagination. I just have to feel like that when they were in the house, maybe one of the kids didn't want to obey. I know y'all have never had that problem. And maybe that kid's about ready to sass mama and daddy. And all of a sudden, they catch a little glimpse of light that clicks in their eye as they stand in the living room and they look back down the hall and they see that glow coming from under that rag and say, I better watch myself because God is right here in my house. And maybe it was mom and daddy. I know y'all never argue or fuss. My wife and I don't. We do have intense fellowship from time to time. But I'm just thinking out loud that maybe mom and daddy were about to have a little bit of a fuss and they were about to lock up and go to it a little bit here. And maybe there was just something, a gleam that hit the side of a mirror that came off the wall and reminded them right back in that bedroom is the very presence of God. There's a kind of God. There's glory in that room. I'm not saying that there was like that, but maybe they even got to the time they were looking at their bank book. Anybody been there? And they looked at the bank book and there was more sitting on the table in paper than there was in that bank. There was more issues in the financial world taken from them than there was in their own banking. Maybe they sat there and were ready to say, God's left us and God doesn't know where we are and he doesn't understand what's going on. But maybe when they started those thoughts, they caught that glimpse again of a light shining back into a bedroom. I'm just saying that maybe they took back those words and said, God, you are with us and you are in control, and my bank book does not define who I am. My failure doesn't define me. My victimization from some idiot in my past doesn't define who I am today. The New Testament says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 that you have been made a temple of the Holy Spirit. You didn't even shout when you could have. You've been made the very box of God that he says, I will choose to rest on. 1 Corinthians 18 about 18 says, what, don't you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? You need to take care of it. Why? Because the box is in you and the glow of God is in you. But see, you don't ever see yourself glowing. Or Jesse thinks he glows, but he doesn't. You know, there's some folks, just they think they glow. You know, Jesus glowed one time. In Matthew 17, the Word of God says that they met with him and they were on a mountain. And when they were meeting with him, that all of a sudden his face... Now listen to what it wasn't. It wasn't a light shining from heaven, so you can get that one out of your mind. It wasn't a light shining from heaven. It was a light shining from inside him, and it lit his face up. And then the Bible says his clothes begin to glow. Do y'all remember that story? It's something in him began to get out of him. And what was in there got on him. And when it got on him, everybody around him saw it and said, this is God. Now, they've not noticed God on him until now. He had healed people, delivered people. And now they see something on the inside come out of him. And they said, we're going to worship right here. We'll build tabernacles. And Jesus said, you don't even know what's going on here. Let me tell you about that light. If you do read your Bible and you happen to read the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, and the Bible says if you read it, you'll be blessed. If you read that book, chapter 21, which is next to the last chapter, verse number 23 says, and in the city there will be no need for the sun.
Yeah. Come on.
You won't need a sun in the city because the Lamb is the light.
Hallelujah.
It says this. It says you'll need no sun in the city because the glory of the Lord will bring its own light. And listen to this. And the Lamb is the light. I want y'all to hang in right here because I think this is where God's taking us. I'm not 100% sure, but I think this is where we're going. That He was with God in the beginning and He was the Word. And then He was also the life, the Zoe, the salvation. How many of y'all born again? Raise your hand. The rest of y'all before you leave will be. I believe that in Jesus' name. I claim you. I just bind the devil and every lie he's ever told you about who you were and who you could be, who loved you and who didn't. I bind those lies in Jesus' name and just say out loud that God loves you, always have, always will. And today's a good day for an old man to die, a new one take life. In Jesus' name. He said He was with us. He was with God. He's the Word. Now He's with us. And it says He is the Zoe, the very life of God, the healing, deliverance, salvation, preservation. He's all of that for us. And then it says, now watch this in that verse number 4. It says, and He is the light of men.
Wow.
Who's your light?
Jesus.
He is. Say He is.
He is.
Say He's my light.
He's my light.
Say He is the Lamb.
He is the Lamb.
And He'll light a whole city. Say, when the light in Him,
light in him.
Got on him,
we saw it.
Now, isn't that the truth? When it got from inside on Him, we saw it. But the Word of God says this, you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Ty, you're not the temple of the Holy Spirit necessarily on the outside. I mean, I'm okay with you on the outside, but it's not the outside that makes you the temple. It is the spirit man that's down inside of you, and God says, I live in you now. And the light of God that was with God has come to the world, and the Bible says it was the Zoe. And when you said, Jesus, come into my heart, you remember that day when you accepted the Lord, and then Jesus comes into your heart? Then He says, now I'm the light of Ty. I'm His light. You know what it says? I'm the light of men. He becomes the light of men. Say, He's the light. I want you to get this and get it very clear. The very light that's going to light heaven is in you right now. The very light that will light heaven is in you right now. Jesus is the life and the Zoe. The Zoe got in you and became your light. Listen very closely. And it says this, and the light shone in darkness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but when Jesus came into my heart, He came into darkness, and the light shone in darkness, and darkness could not conquer it. Darkness could not comprehend it.
Thank you, Lord.
There is an overcoming anointing of Zoe, which is transferred in power in the cosmic realm as light. Try not. This book is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. When this transfers from pages to spirit, are y'all still bearing with me? There's a cosmic world that you don't see that's with us right now. There are angels charged out in this room. They're with us right now. The Lord is among us right now. There's a cosmic world that the Bible says we do battle in every day. And the enemy's told you you're a loser. He's told you he'll defeat you. He's told you your salvation is too thin. He's told you that he will pull you back. He's told you that you're not really forgiven. He's told you God can't love someone like you. Jesus died for people like us. He did not die for angels. He died for us. He died for mankind. It is His plan that the Word of God would be made flesh and it would dwell inside of us, and the cosmic world sees you as an overcoming light source. If I've got that kind of an anointing, why do I keep falling? Because you keep believing lies. I'm too weak, I'm too bound, I'm too stupid, I'm too whatever it is, and I can't get what He's saying. Let me help you right now. The Lord wants to be in you, and He says, I want the Shekinah of my kingdom to glow inside of you. Now, I'm going to say this to you. You'll probably never glow like Jesus did. Until Jesus comes. Now, nobody knows what we're going to look like. But we know when He comes, we're going to be changed, every one of us, in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I just have this feeling that what this body is that we're about to incur, the one we're about to step up into, I don't think it's going to be exactly like this one. It's going to be different in some form. Even though we'll be known as we're known, I think there's more to it than that. I believe there's going to be something of it that allows the glory of God that is in us to get on the outside of us. I just have this feeling, and I'm not 100% sure about it, but I'm not so sure that when we see one another, it's not seeing the light of God on us. I'm not so sure that the glory of God, if He dwells in us and dwells on us, won't also be a light in the cosmic realm or in heaven or in the afterlife. Are y'all still tracking me? Amen. I can't see it on you now, but doesn't mean it's not there.
Right.
So the Word of God says, you've been made a temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit has been put in you, and He's not just sitting in the back bedroom. We want to allow God to be seen in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
I do not want to do Sunday and miss Him on Monday. I want what's in me now to begin to shine out. And this is one of the things that's hurt some folk, and that's this. I don't believe God loves me. I've seen too many hypocrites. I just don't know that I can personally live for God. And you set standards that God didn't set. The standard that God set for you is to call on Him.
Amen.
The Bible says there's one name under heaven whereby men must be saved, John 12, must be saved, and that name is the name of Jesus. Excuse me, it's Acts 4:12. There's one name under heaven whereby men must be saved. The name is Jesus. When you're zoed, when you're brought into the kingdom, and Jesus comes in you, and the light that comes in you becomes the Zoe is the light of men. It's my light now. And here's the word, and we'll be done on this, John 1:4. And the darkness couldn't comprehend it. Does anyone have John 1:4 in a different translation? And it doesn't say comprehend, but it says something else. I'm going to move that direction. Yours was darkness could never understand it. That's good, amen? That's it. When you tell the devil, I'm cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, I defeat you by the cross of Calvary and the blood of the Lamb in the name of Jesus and by His word, by His stripes I've been made whole, by His blood I've been cleansed. When you begin to speak like that, the devil does not understand that kind of light. Say light.
Light.
Do you understand the word of God? When it leaves your lips and gets in the cosmos, it's not like it is here. When I speak here, I don't see my words. But in the cosmic realm, it becomes the light of God. Okay, the word of God was the light of God. Now it's become your light. Say my light. It's a light of men and it shines in darkness. When you speak the word of God, there's something light that happens. So what happens when you turn a light on? What does darkness do? Please, how many of you all know I can turn every light out in this place and I don't need a big light. I can just get one little match, one little paper match and strike one paper match. And how many of you know there would be a place where no darkness could take it? Are y'all still tracking me? So don't be telling me about how weak you are and how you can't live for Jesus. Darkness doesn't understand it.
Can never extinguish it.
And
has never overpowered it, put it out, absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it.
Darkness has never
extinguished it.
Darkness cannot extinguish it. Say, my light can't be put out.
My light can't be put out.
You need to say it like you're mad. Say, my light can't be put out.
My light can't be put out.
All right, look, for you sissy Christians that you believe Jesus went around soft all of His life, I dare you to read John 11 about the resurrection of Lazarus. When it says that He stood out in front of that cave and He groaned. It says twice in there. He groaned when Martha spoke to Him, and He groaned when the people spoke to Him, and He groaned when Martha spoke to Him, because they both said if you'd have been here, He wouldn't be there, and He's about to get Him to come out, and the Bible twice says He groans. I want you to look that word up when you get home. Take your time and look it up, because the word groan doesn't mean He went, oh. It means to blow. It means to be angry. It means to speak forth harshly. Can I just tell you something? He didn't call Lazarus out whispering to him. Jesus was fully angry at that moment. Say, I can be angry and sin not. You can be angry. Jesus was. He got angry because of that. But the enemy could not extinguish it. The darkness cannot what?
Overpower it or put it out, absorb it or appropriate it in its unreceptive spirit.
It can't put it out, can't absorb it, can't appropriate it, and is unreceptive to it.
Overcome it.
And cannot overcome it. Touch someone and say, the light in me can't be overcome. If that's the truth, then you've got to ask yourself the next question. The proverbial second thought. If it can't be overcome, what in the heck's wrong with me?
Wow, man. Come on.
If the Bible says it can't be overcome, let me put it down, break it down in some terms you understand. What in hell is wrong with me? Because it ain't heaven that's wrong with you. There's something in hell wrong with you. If you've got the promise of the kingdom of God in you and you're still living like the devil and you've gone back into your old ways and you're overpowered by the enemy, I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't God's fault. It's not a filter of the light. There's somebody else in that place making some decisions, and you may as well start standing back up and making your mind up that I am not going to let hell determine my life. My life is not determined by my failure. I did have a failure, but my determination and my future will be determined by the word of God. Lord, forgive me for that foolishness, and I pray that my destiny move on. And the darkness doesn't understand that, because darkness says he's going to stay mad at you and he wants to get back at you and he's going to talk to other people about you. Darkness is all about retribution and payback. Oh, you didn't say amen near loud enough for what's going on in your life right now, because the devil is steady telling you why you can't be what you are right now. Why you can't stand up here in a few minutes and say, Jesus, I want you to forgive me, and I want the light to be shining forth in the darkness. I want dark things in my life seen. I want them to become accountable. I want to be seeing what's going on there. I want people around me to know I'm born again.
Amen.
I want the light to shine. Amen. What's in you right now is the very power that's going to light heaven. Let's all stand if you would. Really all I have done here. Now here's what I know. I know I worked to have something else to say. I knew it when Dennis was sharing. I knew it when Kelly gave that prophecy. I knew it when we sang one of the songs. I forget which one it was. Probably all of them, but one of them. That just kept... I was thinking, boy, this is kind of where I was going, but not really. I was just a little bit skewed. But it more and more convinced me that there are folks standing here right now that what you really need... I mean, you've heard Jesus loves me since you've been, you know, this tall. I get that. And you know that you want to serve God, and you still, you know, just kind of limp along, but you've never seen yourself. Go ahead, man, you're fine. You've never seen yourself as a light bearer. You've seen yourself as a Christian struggling in and out, up and down. How many of y'all done some of that up and down besides myself? Yeah. Yeah. Just feel like an idiot at times. Why in the world? For all of you that are mad at me for saying, what in the hell is wrong with you? You need to be the first ones at the altar. I really don't back up on that comment because I don't believe it's heaven. I believe if there's something sideways in you, it's come straight from hell. I believe the enemy is out to destroy you. John 10:10 says the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come. Jesus says, I have come to give you Zoe. And that Zoe in abundance. I've come to give you salvation abundantly. I've come to give you freedom abundantly. I've come to give you deliverance abundantly. I've come to give you healing abundantly. I've come to give you provision abundantly. I've come to preserve you abundantly. I've come to do more than you ever asked me to do. And trust me, when I said, Jesus, save me, I did not understand the gravity of the word that I was asking for him to do.
Hallelujah.
Y'all put on your thinking cap and be honest with Pastor this morning. Cowboy for the rest of y'all. How many of us really didn't understand? We did not understand the gravity, that is the weight, the size of salvation when we said, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me. How many of us just didn't really get it? I didn't get it. Now the rest of y'all got it. Hallelujah. But here's the truth. It's still unfolding to me. This morning as I sat here and the Lord said, and I am the life. In me is the life, and the life has become your light. It dawned on me after over 50 years of serving God, 40 years as a pastor, over 40 years pastoring churches, having that in me, and the Lord opens up a word that just threw me back, and I didn't know what to do except share it with you, that he said the Zoe that's in me, that is coming to you, is the light source of the kingdom. What's the first thing God said when the Spirit moved on the face of the deep? He didn't say, let there be man, let there be animals, let there be land. He said, let there be light.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.